The scripture reading this evening will come from the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. 1 Kings 22, 7 and 8. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so."
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see you tonight. And it's definitely evening now. on the drive over, you know, it was of course getting dark. And, you know, my kids aren't used to that when we're going to church. And my daughter said something like, it needs to be a quick church tonight, Dad. It's already getting dark. So I'll see what I can do. But, you know, if you're like me, like the time change now, you don't have to put a lot of thought into it because I just use my phone for, you know, my clock and my alarm. And it does it automatically, so it's not like a very active, conscious thing to have to change the time. But as I was getting the kids ready before we left, I happened to see the clock on the stove. And it said 6:08. And I had this rush of fear. This anxiety hit me so hard right in my stomach, and I was thinking like, they're sitting there right now, and I'm supposed to be preaching, and I'm not there. And it just hit me so hard. But then, you know, I realized after a few seconds, but those few seconds were stressful before I realized what had happened. But yes, it's definitely evening now, and it's a beautiful evening. It's a beautiful evening to share with you. Tonight, I wanted us to take a lesson from 1 Kings chapter 22, if you're not there in your Bible. This is a story that I wanted to kind of go over tonight. And it's interesting because it's a story that's kind of nestled between a couple others that I've presented lessons on. I don't even know how recently. It feels very recent to me, but a couple other stories. At one point, we read about Ahab was the king who followed the Baals when Elijah summoned the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel and challenged them to see whose God would answer, and the prophets of Baal were all executed. We did a lesson from that. And then we also had a story about Ahab's son, Ahaziah, who followed in his father's footsteps, sadly. And fell and was injured and then sent to inquire of Beelzebub to see if he would recover. And he did not. He was not seeking after the right, you know, the only God. And this story that we're going to look at kind of takes place in between those, after Mount Carmel, but before Ahaziah became king. And the way that I came across this, and this again kind of ties into something we studied previously, we studied truth and its importance, and this kind of came up in that study, and I really liked the story, but I couldn't really find a way that it would fit in with that study, and it kind of ties in with some of the other things we thought, so I thought it would be, you know, valuable to study here tonight. So this does have a lot of components to truth to it, but I think that the real message that I want us to take away is that we need to listen to God. We need to hear God and believe Him. So I want to begin in 1 Kings chapter 22. And I am going to read, you know, several passages, maybe a little longer than normal, but I really want to make sure that we get the whole story. So I'm going to begin in verse 1 of 1 Kings 22. "For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, 'Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire first of the word of the Lord. Then the king of Israel, who is Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here another prophet of the Lord whom we may inquire? And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. And I think that last day, it would almost be comical if it wasn't in this setting. Ahab, with the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, they see this land, Ramoth-Gilead. They decide that they may go and take it from the king of Syria. And so they say, well, let's ask of the Lord and let's see if he's going to bless us, if he's going to help us and be on our side. So Ahab gets, 400 so-called prophets of the Lord and asks them, and they say, oh yes, king, you go and you take it and everything will be fine. And for whatever reason, Jehoshaphat says, is there no one else we can ask? Maybe he senses something, I'm not really sure, but then Ahab says, well, there is one guy, but I hate him because every time I ask him about something, he tells me bad news. And there's a little bit of, blaming the messenger, I think, going on with Ahab. We know that he's not the spiritual leader that he needed to be. But Ahab doesn't appear to really be looking for truth. He doesn't appear to be wanting to listen to God. He just wants somebody to tell him what he wants to hear. And sadly, these 400 were willing to tell him what he wanted to hear. And presumably they are not of God. They were not telling him the truth. It's always dangerous when people are just going to tell you what you want to hear. And honestly, it entices people because they want to hear it. But I also think it maybe entices people in wanting to give good reports. We can see that Ahab was wrong in just wanting to only hear good news and hating it when somebody tells him something he doesn't want to hear. But I also think, these 400 prophets, what was kind of pulling in to gain favor with the king, to be blessed, to have that position? I think that there's a lot of that goes on with us too. It's not enjoyable to tell people something that is hurtful to them. Not harmful, but something that may hurt their feelings. Something they may not appreciate. Sometimes it's hard to tell people the truth. And I wonder how much of the false teaching that we may see in the world is a little bit connected to that. Where maybe people aren't setting out and saying in their minds consciously, I want to deceive people, I want to tell them false doctrines, I want to lead them astray, I want to lead them away from God. I wonder how much there are times where people are just so compelled to want to give people a message that they want to hear that they kind of subconsciously convince themselves that it is true. We said this morning that Satan arrays himself. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And sometimes a lot of people will see what they want to hear and associate it with something good, with something that is light, but it doesn't mean that it's true. And Ahab hated when someone gave him bad news. And really, he says it's an issue with Micaiah that he hates him, but of course, really his issue was with God. Micaiah, this is displacement. This is blaming the messenger. Because Micaiah was only conveying what was from God. And we cannot and should not be upset with somebody simply for relaying to us the word of the Almighty God. It may not always be easy to take that message, but if someone, again, as we said this morning, isn't shining a light on our sin, they're really not doing us any favors. Sometimes I think about that with, teaching young children, teaching, fourth graders. It's not always easy to, give out discipline, to give redirection. I really like the kids that I teach, and it's not always easy. But I have to keep in mind, I'm not helping them if I'm allowing them to do things that aren't going to lead to their success. I mean, that's my job, is to kind of redirect them, even if it may not be fun for them or me. We need to desire the truth, and we need to want to listen to God. Picking up in verse 9 of 1 Kings 22. Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made for himself horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so and said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." So while they were waiting for the true prophet of God to come, the two kings were sitting there and kind of holding court. And these prophets continued to tell them good things that they wanted to hear. And one, Zedekiah, even used kind of an illustration and had horns of iron. And from what I read, it was almost kind of like, the two horns kind of being a symbol of the two kingdoms coming together and being victorious, which I think... that is kind of a powerful image, to present. It was probably kind of persuasive. And the note I'll make about that, sometimes something can be kind of persuasive, but again, that doesn't mean that it's true. There's a lot of sayings, illustrations that on the surface may be very persuasive. And, Paul writes about this in different places about, watching out for this persuasive language. And, unfortunately, we can be very susceptible to something that kind of catches our eye, something that's a good soundbite, something that on the surface may seem very compelling, but underneath doesn't have truth behind it. Verse 13, "And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, 'Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably.' But Micaiah said, 'As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak.'" This is such a powerful response, and something I think we can take so much from. This is not so subtle pressure being given to Micaiah here, a little like peer pressure. He comes and says, "All of these prophets have spoken the same thing. And you're going to say the same thing, right? You're going to speak favorably too." I mean, it's home. We can kind of read in a little bit of a veiled threat there as well. And as we will see, there was a threat for what Micaiah was to say. But even that, kind of push to go along with what everybody else was saying and a threat, maybe subtly, maybe not, given to Micaiah. I love his response. "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." I pray for that courage in my life. That what other people are saying, whatever the consequences might be, that I will speak as the Lord speaks. And we need to have that courage and to tell things as they truly are. There was an old riddle. I'd heard about it in reference to Abraham Lincoln, but I believe in looking it up that it predates him. But either way, the riddle is, someone asks, if you consider a dog's tail a leg, how many legs does a dog have? And so someone will respond, well, if we're counting the tail as a leg, then it would have 5 legs. And then the response is, no, just because you call it a tail, or call it a leg, it doesn't mean it's a leg. You can call it that, but that doesn't make it true. And I think a lot of things spiritually, we sometimes can call things a certain thing. We can use words that kind of lighten it, that make it seem not as sinful, to make it seem not, you know, a direct rebellion against God. But we need to call things what they are. And even if we give it a different name, if we give it a softer context, it doesn't change what it is. Verse 15. And when he had come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So this is where I think it gets especially fascinating, because Micaiah says, oh yes, king, the victory is yours. Just go up and take it. And Ahab doesn't take that the way that the words that Micaiah uses, Ahab doesn't construe that way. So my thought is Micaiah was being sarcastic. And that he could, and Ahab sensed that. It wasn't that he was trying to fool him or lie to him, or that Micaiah didn't believe that. He was openly like, you know, you told me what you wanted to hear. This is what you wanted to hear. He wasn't trying to deceive Ahab. He was making a point, I believe. You just want people to tell you what you want to hear. Here's what you want to hear. He said it in kind of a sarcastic way. And, you know, if someone's seeking after lies, he was saying, is this the lie that you wanted to hear? That you're going to be victorious? And Ahab catches that. And then in verse 17, when he says, Micaiah, I've told you, tell me the truth. And then in verse 17, Micaiah says, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each one return to his home in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? So Micaiah says, well, if you want the truth, you will not be successful. You will fall. You will fail. And specifically, they have no master, which is foretelling that Ahab would not survive. And Ahab's response isn't one of you know, regret or hesitance. He said, see, didn't I tell you that he was just going to say evil things about me? He never tells me anything good. Ahab seems indignant and basically says, see, I told you so. I knew this guy was going to say something evil about me. Verse 19, and Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you. Now here's where, this came up in my study about truth. Are we to interpret this as God lying to Ahab when it says that he was looking for a lying spirit to put in the mouth of these prophets? Of course, we know that's not true. God cannot lie, would not lie. And I gained some insight into this story in an article by a man named Wayne Jackson. And in that article, he quotes Adam Clark, that in this instance it only tells in figurative language what was in the womb of providence, the events which were shortly to take place, the agents employed in them, and the permission on the part of God for these agents to act. And I think there's a type of language used here that we don't use a lot today where, you know, we would have probably expressed this in a much more passive form of saying, well, God allowed these prophets to lie if they were choosing to lie. But because it's God and it was kind of a different type of communication, they kind of make it a little more active. But it wasn't that God was setting out to deceive him, but he was allowing these prophets to lie to him. He allows us to make our own choices. And that's a type of teaching that we see other places in Scripture as well. Like in Jeremiah 4:9, "In that day, declares the Lord, courage shall fail both king and officials. The priest shall be appalled and the prophets astounded. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, surely you have utterly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, It shall be well with you, whereas the sword has reached their very life." Then in Ezekiel chapter 20, just for the sake of time, I'm trying to just get to the most important part. And if Ezekiel 20, verse 25, "Moreover, I gave them statutes that were not good and rules by which they could not have life. And I defiled them through their very gifts and their offering up all their firstborn that I might devastate them." And we know the example of, Pharaoh, that it said God hardened his heart. These are ways of the writers expressing God letting people make their own choices. But because it's God and he has all power, they're kind of expressing it in a more active way than we would. But God was not set out to deceive Ahab, to try to trick him into sin. And then verse 24 in 1 Kings 22. "Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, How did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, Behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, Seize Micaiah. And take him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, Put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, Hear, all you peoples." And so again, for the sake of time, I won't finish the reading. Micaiah was very confident in his prophecy. And it came to pass. In that battle, Ahab was struck and eventually died. And everyone returned. In verse 36, "Every man to his city and every man to his country, just as was prophesied." When I look at this story, Ahab had a bunch of people around him just telling him what he wanted to hear. And there was one person who was telling him the truth. Prophesied exactly what would happen. And Ahab foolishly ignored what God told him. Told him exactly what would happen and still ignored him. God cannot lie, yet so many people don't take his word seriously. Even people who profess to believe in him, even people who claim to be spiritual or religious in some way, they hear that God is commanding them to obey, to follow him, to avoid sin, to come to Christ, to seek after him first, to put him first in our lives, to distance ourselves from all sin and darkness. And they still just think, I'm a good person. Someday I'll be okay. God is giving us truth, and we should always listen. And as we said this morning, take that truth, that light, and show it to the world. The gospel is good news, and people need to hear it. The truth is incredible, and the truth will truly set us free from our sins. So if you have any need tonight, will you please come forward as we stand and sing?